The next case to be heard is number 2015-1065, MDM Holdings versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. Appellant is MDM Holdings, and we'll hear argument from Mr. Ray whenever you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Nicholas Ray, and I represent the appellant property owner, MDM Holdings, LLC. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Your Honor, the operative facts in this case are not in dispute. MDM properly filed the 2011 tax valuation complaint concerning the subject property. The complaint was not resolved within 90 days at the Board of Revision, triggering the continuing complaint provisions of Ohio Revised Code Section 5715.19d. The final decision in MDM's 2011 case was issued by the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals in 2014. In January 2015, within 1 year of the BTA's order, MDM filed a continuing complaint letter with the Board of Revision requesting a hearing for tax lien date 2012, a lien date which the 2011 case would obviously cover. The BOR denied the request as untimely, and the matter was appealed to the BTA. Your Honor, one overriding question is presented for this court's consideration. That is, was the BTA correct that this court created a jurisdictional bar to this matter in AERC Sawmill Village? As the facts in the seminal cases concerning continuing complaint provision demonstrates, that is clearly not the case. Your Honor, my role here is a bit of a unique one. AERC Sawmill Village was my case before I switched firms. I am the lawyer who filed the letter in AERC Sawmill Village. The facts in that case are clear. They're reflected in this court's decision as well as in the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals decision in this case. In that case, we finalized a 2012 case with a stipulation that was accepted by the BTA on September 1st, 2006. My letter requesting that the Board of Revision exercise jurisdiction over 2005 was filed with the BOR in May 2007, the next calendar year. The BTA discusses this matter in paragraph 4 of its decision, and it's clear that the letter was filed in the subsequent calendar year. Additionally, in the very first sentence under the analysis section of this court's AERC Sawmill decision, the court says, although no party has addressed a lack of jurisdiction for tax year 2005, the court has a duty to ensure that the tribunals below have jurisdiction with respect to 2005. The court then concludes that based upon the letter filed in the next calendar year, that jurisdiction was properly invoked over 2005. In reaching that decision, the AERC Sawmill Village decision cites to Columbus City Schools v. Franklin County Board of Revision, kind of otherwise known as the Inner City Catholic Parishes case. There are only two seminal cases involving continuing complaint. That is AERC Sawmill and Inner City Catholic Parishes.
Since you've recited the facts regarding AERC Sawmill, there is a difference in this case. And that is, if I'm right about this, the BTA appeal was voluntarily dismissed here, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, there was a reduction granted by the Board of Revision in the 2011 case. That reduction was appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals. We're at a point that's the end of the sexennial period. So at that point, again, based upon this court's decision in AERC Sawmill, that case dealt with 1 year. The property owner at that point elected to essentially accept the reduction that was provided by the Board of Revision and to then pursue the beginning of the next triennial in 2012.
But it certainly would have been open to them to attempt to get some kind of a carryover while that case was still pending, rather than voluntarily dismiss the BTA appeal.
I'm not sure that a carryover would work in that case. You could have contemplated from settlement a different value for 2012. But again, at that point, 2012 had not been heard by the Board of Revision.
So the request letter here really seeks a hearing for an entirely new value. Is that
for correct
for 2012
entirely new sexennial?
Okay.
And again, that is exactly the fact pattern in AERC Sawmill. Intercity Catholic is a little different because we were dealing with a triennial update year.
Well, it's a little different from AERC in that it was the auditor in AERC who retroactively used the stipulated value.
That's correct.
And again, the letter that you filed challenged that because the reappraisal value was lower.
That's true. On the merits of the underlying case, Your Honor, the facts are different. We're here today on a jurisdictional question, though. The question is not should that 2011 agreed value carry forward to 2012, or should some other number stand. The question is whether the actions taken were sufficient to invoke the jurisdiction of the Board of Revision in this case under the continuing complaint provisions. The facts in AERC are dead on. It's a reappraisal year. It's an update concluded in 2006, letter filed in 2007. This court goes to pains to say, sua sponte, even though no one has asked us. No one questioned jurisdiction in that case. Sua sponte, the court goes on its own to say, we're going to look at jurisdiction. Is it sufficient in this case? Has it been properly invoked? And the answer is yes. From the question of jurisdiction, was it properly invoked? Yes, the letter filed in May 2007 is sufficient. The facts in Intercity Catholic follow a very similar pattern. The case was resolved in 1996. The difference there was that the property owner was attempting to exert jurisdiction over 1996. The letter, though, was filed in February 1997. Again, filed in the subsequent calendar year. The question that was dealt with in Intercity and really what the quote that we're focused on here in the AERC Sawmill case needs to be looked at in light of Intercity Catholic, right? So the language the BTA relied upon is that the original complaint, quote, continues as a valid complaint through the year in which the final decision is rendered. And then it cites to Intercity Catholic parishes. To understand the basis for that quote, one really only need read the decision in Intercity Catholic, as well as the concurring opinion of Justice Cook. Because the case ended in Intercity Catholic, in the middle of the year in which jurisdiction was attempted to be exerted over, the court wrestled with what the language meant. Does jurisdiction end, and there is no jurisdiction over that entire year, because there was still the ability to file a complaint on that 1996 year in Intercity Catholic. The court rejected that. The court also considered whether the jurisdiction cut off when the case ended. And therefore, as a basis on Intercity Catholic, the court said, well, that would leave us an absurd result because we would have jurisdiction over a partial year. Ultimately, what the court decided and what Justice Cook expounded upon in her concurring opinion was that it was the entire year. If the case was outstanding during the year, jurisdiction then over that lien date, over that tax year, was for the entire year. Intercity spends a lot of time discussing those issues, and Justice Cook files her concurring opinion simply to say, this needs more detail and analysis. That's what we're talking about.
But of course, the request in Intercity Catholic Parishes was for a carryover of a value found in the BTA case.
It involved both carryover and continuing complaint because there was no DTE-1 filed in that case. There was no separate complaint.
Whereas here we have voluntarily dismissed BTA appeal and then a subsequent request for continuing complaint that seeks an entirely new valuation hearing for 2012.
Again, Your Honor, there's nothing in the statute that really addresses kind of that methodology. The question here in the case law is jurisdiction proper? Once the Board of Revisions case went beyond the 90 days, by statute, the continuing complaint provision applied to 2012. Next, we look to see when is then the case ultimately completed. It doesn't say when a reduction is granted, which there was in this case. It doesn't say that it resulted or ended upon appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals. It just says at the completion of the case. And that's what we have. We have a jurisdictional question here. Intercity Catholic was different because we were dealing with a reappraisal or an update year. And so there was not a reappraisal there. And the court goes to pains to say the auditor should have just carried forward that value in its decision. But they rely upon a letter. From a jurisdictional standpoint, the question before the court today is whether jurisdiction is properly granted by the letter filed in January 2015. It's clear from Intercity Catholic. It's clear from AERC Sawmill. The court went to pains in AERC Sawmill to say, yes, we have jurisdiction in this case based upon a letter filed in May 2007. Finally, Your Honor, the law is clear that the BOR nor the BTA have power to create an arbitrary deadline. The deadline doesn't exist in statute. The BTA acknowledges it doesn't. First, as noted, creating this arbitrary deadline is contrary to existing case law of this court. Second, as discussed in our briefs, the court has made clear recently in its Ginther decision that discretionary authority does not otherwise exist in statute is outside the administrative body's authority. And further, as noted in our brief, the idea that somehow the jurisdiction ends at the end of the calendar year to file the letter could lead to absurd results, such that if the decision is rendered on December 30th, someone would have a day to file their appeal. That is directly on point with Justice Cook's concurring opinion in Intercity Catholic, in which she worried that there would be inadvertent injustice to certain taxpayers. That would be the case here, Your Honor. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Ms. Curtis Patrick.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Sandra Curtis Patrick. I'm here on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Fiscal Officer and Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. I would like to start by briefly highlighting a few pertinent facts about this case. It is undisputed that the original complaint for 2011 was pending before the Board of Revision during the filing period for the 2012 complaints. The Board of Revision conducted an oral hearing on May 10, 2013, which was after the filing deadline. At the hearing on May 10, 2013, the taxpayer could have asked the Board of Revision for a decision for tax years 2011 and 2012, because at that point, the Board of Revision had continuing complaint jurisdiction. However, the taxpayer failed to do so. Instead, on May 11, 2013, the taxpayer filed an appeal of the Board of Revision decision to the BTA. The appeal was set for hearing on January 9, 2014, subsequently rescheduled to February 6, 2014. On February 5, 2014, the taxpayer notified the BTA that it would voluntarily dismiss the appeal. The BTA issued an order of voluntary dismissal. If the taxpayer had proceeded to the BTA hearing, they could have presented evidence for 2011 and evidence for 2012. But instead, they voluntarily dismissed the appeal. Then, approximately 1 year later, in January of 2015, the appellant's attorney contacts the Board of Revision and requests a continuing complaint hearing for 2012. So it is significant that 2012 was a reappraisal year in Cuyahoga County, and yet the appellant passed on two opportunities to request a hearing or present evidence with respect to tax year 2012. Instead, they waited approximately 1 year later to approach the Board of Revision, relying on the continuing complaint jurisdiction in 5715.19D. When that request was made, the county argues that the Board of Revision lacked continuing complaint jurisdiction. Appellees maintain that the BTA correctly determined that the Board of Revision continuing complaint jurisdiction extends until the complaint is finally determined by the Board of Revision or until the end of the year in which the final decision is rendered. As the Supreme Court explained in AERC Sawmill Village, when faced with the issue of resolving conflict between statutes that require the auditor to reappraise and update the value of real property and the carryover provision in 5715.19D, its own cases have recognized situations both generally and in regard to construing 5715.19, in which conflicting statutes and competing mandates must be read in a manner designed to harmonize the different statutory provisions. When one considers the legislative history of 5715.19, the legislature's statement of purpose clarified that if the complaint was not decided by the Board of Revision in the 90-day time frame, it will continue as an effective complaint for succeeding tax years until it is finally determined. The inclusion of the word until demonstrates that there is a time limitation on continuing complaint jurisdiction. Otherwise, that word would not have been used. Contrary to the taxpayer's argument that the Board of Revision's jurisdiction has no deadline whatsoever, clearly use of the word until suggests that there is a limitation. The BTA's interpretation of 5715.19 is based on the Supreme Court decision in AERC Sawmill Creek. And as the court explained in that decision, once the continuing complaint provision has been triggered, the original complaint continues as a valid complaint through the year in which the final decision by the Board of Revision or on appeal is rendered in the proceedings on that complaint. The language in AERC is clear that continuing complaint jurisdiction at the Board of Revision continues through the year in which the final decision is rendered. In this case, that final decision was in February 2014 when the taxpayer voluntarily dismissed their complaint and the Board of Tax Appeals issued an order. Therefore, the BOR's continuing complaint jurisdiction extended until the end of that year. In January 2015, when the taxpayer contacted the Board of Revision asking for a continuing complaint hearing, the Board of Revision's jurisdiction had expired. Contrary to the taxpayer's assertion, this is not a matter of the Board of Revision and the BTA attempting to exercise some rulemaking authority. It is undisputed that the Board of Revision is a creature of statute. They must exercise within their jurisdiction at the administrative level. The Board of Revision decision that it lacked continuing complaint jurisdiction was reviewed by the BTA and affirmed, even though it used different reasoning to reach that conclusion.
The appellant, I think Mr. Ray would say in the prior cases, this request letter would be sent to the BOR in the year following the year in which the final determination of the original complaint took place. So he would say, why should that not be true here? Does it matter that the BTA appeal was voluntarily dismissed here?
I believe that it does, Your Honor, because the taxpayer exercised it was their decision to, in fact, terminate the appeal at that point. We believe that they could have presented evidence for tax year 2012 if they had proceeded at the BTA, but instead they decided that they wanted to terminate their appeal. And then to wait 1 year later, we believe that at that point jurisdiction had expired at the Board of Revision level. And this was not a matter, the rejection of the request for a continuing complaint hearing was not a matter of the Board of Revision trying to make some rule. We were simply acting in accordance with what the Board of Revision understood to be their limited jurisdiction in this case. The appellant cites Ginter versus Auglaize County Board of Revision case regarding the duties of Boards of Revision to make a determination of value whenever the complaint properly invokes its jurisdiction. However, Ginter is easily distinguishable from this case. Ginter involved the board's decision to dismiss a complaint after the taxpayer failed to appear at a hearing. Since the complaint was properly filed in Ginter, there was no question that the Board of Revision had jurisdiction. In Ginter, the Supreme Court determined that since Boards of Revisions are creatures of statute, imbued only with powers granted by their enabling laws, and since the statutes do not specifically confer a power to dismiss for failure to prosecute, they lacked such authority. And Ginter is not persuasive for purposes of this case. The issue here is whether MDM made a timely request to invoke the Board of Revision's continuing complaint jurisdiction in January 2015. The BTA's decision that 5715.19, the continuing complaint jurisdiction, extends until the end of the year in which the final decision is rendered is lawful and a reasonable interpretation of the statute. And in conclusion, the county would urge this court to affirm the decision of the BTA that MDM's request for a continuing complaint hearing in 2015 was in fact untimely. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ray, you have reserved 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. We agree fully that the question is 100% whether the request in this case was timely. Counsel makes issue about, well, the taxpayer could have asked, the taxpayer could have done this. There are no requirements by statute as it relates to the continuing complaint jurisdiction. The taxpayer has the option, the attorneys and the taxpayer have the option to decide how they wish to pursue their case, and it's not restricted by statute. In this case, the taxpayer desired a hearing at the Board of Revision for 2012, a case which, or a year over which, no one disputes the continuing complaint jurisdiction applies. And the question is whether the request was timely. The AERC quote in this case is quoting inner-city Catholic parishes. You can't take the inner-city quote in a vacuum without understanding the underlying decision in AER in inner-city. And inner-city was dealing with the question of when a case ended in that year, how would jurisdiction apply? In fact, the taxpayer in inner-city had an option to file a DTE-1. They could have elected at that point. Taxpayer could have done a lot of things. They could have filed a DTE-1 and invoked the jurisdiction of the BOR. It didn't matter to the court. They were filed in the subsequent year. The subsequent year was timely. The AERC sawmill court.
Wasn't there a discussion in the inner city Catholic parishes case about the propriety of asserting a carryover claim through a new complaint as opposed to asserting it through this request letter? And isn't that a point of distinction here, since the request is for an entirely new value hearing, not...
Well, I think the important thing in that, Your Honor, is that there was that question, and the court wrestled with, shouldn't they have filed the complaint? That certainly was available to the taxpayer as an option, and the court found that the letter was sufficient. Yes, that inner city was a question of carry forward, carry over the value in the court's vernacular. And AERC sawmill dealt with a reappraisal year. But in none of those cases was the question of jurisdiction and a letter filed in the subsequent year found to be a jurisdictional bar. There is no limit on the options that the taxpayer puts forth. Council would also say that, again, it's our argument that there's no deadline whatsoever. Again, I don't know if there's a deadline whatsoever, but those facts are not before the case. The facts in this case fall squarely within this court's jurisprudence, fall squarely within the deadlines the court has established for requesting jurisdiction at the Board of Revision. Your Honor, in conclusion, the BTA's reliance upon the quote from AERC Sawmill is misplaced. The facts of the two seminal continuing complaint decisions by this court support that a letter filed with the BOR in the year following the final determination of the previous matter invokes the jurisdiction of the BOR. It's exactly what happened in this case. You only need read the majority and concurring opinions in Inner City Catholic to understand the issue that the quoted language from AERC was wrestling with. How much of the year did jurisdiction apply to? For these reasons, the court should overturn the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and order that this matter be remanded to the BOR for a hearing for the 2012 value of the subject property.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.